fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's insane.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. It's me, Jesse Blazinger, the coolest geek alive. I'm still a little under the weather, as you probably hear in my voice. Anyway, I'm excited to chat with you guys about a show that I've been watching on Netflix, which is awesome. If it had ended a little bit more excitingly, I would have told you it's like my single favorite show I've ever seen, maybe, in terms of just like immediate reaction to it. And I mean, the strength of the filmmaking. This is essentially an 8-episode Guy Ritchie movie. And I don't know if you're like me and a big fan of Guy Ritchie's. I'm such a huge fan of his movies. There are so many good ones. Of course, back in the day, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels was the first one of his movies that, you know, set the world on fire. I mean, like, you know, his style, I mean, really just the way he makes movies, to me, is just, I think he's one of the coolest filmmakers around. You know, he's had a couple kind of stumbles in that, you know, thing in making movies the way, you know, like his style was very apparent, you know, from the beginning. But over the years, you know, there was a time when he married, what is it, Madonna. And he was, let's just say, swept away. It's what the movie that he made with her is called, by Miss Madonna. And she, you know, I only even saw parts of that movie because I heard it was so bad and I love him so much. But, you know, he started off with a short called The Hard Case in 95. And then in 98, Lock, Stock came out. I think I watched The Hard Case at some point. I think it was an extra on one of the DVDs. And then the big turn for him was a movie called Snatch, which you're more likely to have seen. And Snatch is like arguably even better. But Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is fucking awesome. Highly recommend you check out that movie. Vinnie Jones is in it, and I think it's the first Jason Statham. He's the one who discovered Jason Statham. Then he did this short Star, which was like all these shorts they were making for this car company at the time, and he did Swept Away, which was and he did The Hire, which is another one of those shorts for some car company at the time. They had all these major studio directors making these like crazy, like high chase, high stakes car chases and like espionage kind of commercials with their cars. So he came back around. Well, there's a movie he did called Revolver, which I guess maybe I missed that one. I never saw Revolver. It looks like Jason Statham's in that. I got to check that out, actually. That's a discovery for me. I didn't look at this list beforehand. But he did Rock and Rolla. And Rock and Rolla is awesome. It has some of my favorite scenes of all time. But as a movie, it's not as cohesive and as awesome as Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. But then he did The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was fun. The King Arthur Legend of the Sword, which a lot of people are detracted from initially, but has a lot of fans on the other side of things. I think that movie's pretty awesome. There was a Snatch TV series that I guess he was involved in. I've never actually seen the Snatch TV series. I wonder if it was any good. This says writer, that he was writing these things. He did the screenplay for Aladdin, and Aladdin ended up, I thought Aladdin was okay. I mean, granted, I hate the whole concept of just infinitely remaking this shit, but whatever. And then he did the Gentleman film, which was really great, with Matthew McConaughey and stuff. That movie's really awesome. And this TV series that I'm going to talk about is based on the Gentleman film. Well, I shouldn't say it's based on the Gentleman film. It's a completely different Gentleman, completely different story, but just conceptually sort of based on the Gentleman film. I was like, yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that before. And I'm like, where's Matthew McConaughey? Where are all the actors? And then I was like, oh, it's a TV show. So you might have been confused the same way I was. He also made Wrath of Man with Jason Statham, which I thought was awesome. Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, which I don't think I got to see that one. I wanted to see that really badly with, what's his name's in it? James, Yeah, Josh Hartnett. It's a Josh Hartnett. He's got to like train the guy to be like a fake espionage agent or something like that. It was cool. It looked cool. I didn't see that one. But Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, I did see. That was fucking awesome. Essentially, dude like getting revenge and getting in the military. It's really cool because of The Covenant. It's awesome. And now The Gentlemen. And I'm just going to go back real quick to just make sure that the ones that I was talking about are all movies that he, because those ones he wrote. And then this is director. Oh, so there's a lot more director. I'm sorry. I'm looking at like an IMDb list because I figured it'd just be easy to talk about him this way. Yeah, he directed some music videos for Madonna. And yeah, The Revolver is a movie of his that I guess I just missed. And yeah, he's directed like a lot of cool commercials and for like Nike and music videos occasionally, and has done some more shorts too. Oh yeah, so he also directed the Sherlock Holmes movies, which I forgot about, but I guess he didn't write those, but I'm sure he had a little bit of a hand in them. Stylistically, they're so cool. They're so Guy Ritchie. Those were a bit of him coming back into prominence. You know, then The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and King Arthur, as I talked about, and Aladdin, you know, really big Disney film, and I think he did a really good job with it. Granted, like I said, conceptually, I don't really love those remake films in general, but for what it was, I thought it was great. Anyway, this is all to say that there are so many great things by Guy Ritchie, and I mean, really, the big ones to take away from here, you know, the recommends is you gotta watch Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, you gotta watch Snatch, Rock and Roll is worth your time, the Sherlock Holmes movies are super fun. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and King Arthur are great. Maybe not as good as Snatch and Lockstock. And The Gentleman, the first Gentleman, was great. Wrath of Man was great. Guy Ritchie's The Covenant was great. I'd really like to see Operation Fortune. I'm hoping to see it soon. See those movies. He is a killer film director. Who seemed maybe for a moment like he was affected by Hollywood in various ways. You know, I was been studying him for a long time since his first movie. I was like, he's awesome. And then I watched him sort of like kind of fall down for a second with the Madonna stuff and whatever else, and the way he was talked about in the press and like all the other bullshit that goes along with this Hollywood rises and falls. But he has, you know, come full circle, you know, to the other end, you know, of this back from, you know, being a young auteur, as they call them, and then like falling off and then becoming really hot again. And he is a well-oiled machine. I am so blown away. I mean, he wrote and directed, I think, all of these episodes. And you know, I'll check while I'm talking to you to see if I'm right that it is indeed every single episode. But every time the credits would come up, I saw written by Guy Ritchie and, you know, created by Guy Ritchie. So, I mean, you know, I'm looking at the first episode and there's a guy named Matthew Reed on the credits here for writing alongside him. Guy Ritchie written by along with Matthew Red on episode 2. So, I mean, you know, if he only has one writing partner for this whole thing, I mean, that's fucking crazy impressive. Matthew Red, Halima Mirza on episode 4, I guess this is now, or 3. But whatever the case, he worked on every episode. They all feel like him. And better than that, they all are... He has a certain style. I mean, just from the way he cuts things, you know, he's editing things, and I'm sure he's very involved in that process. I've never looked specifically to see, you know, that it's all edited by him or anything. But he has a number of different writers who are working with him on these scripts, but they all feel very authentic to him, and this show's created by him, and I would think that his fingerprints are all over it, even though there are people working on these scripts, and not a lot, but he's got a person or two who are working on these various scripts. I was really blown away by this show. It, for me, it just felt like this filmmaker that I love, Guy Ritchie, firing on all cylinders and genuinely just like it just felt like, wow, Guy Ritchie has gotten so good he doesn't even have to think about it anymore. This shit is so good he doesn't even have to think about it. And I mean, there's so many factors here, and I'm you know, there's so many people who I'm sure have credits for these things, but at the same time, whether it's the people Guy is choosing, like his casting director, or he has a hand in it, clearly a lot of love is going into these things. That is one of the best fucking parts about the series. The casting is just amazing. There's a similar thing about the lead, who is the leading man from the Divergent series, which I never saw, but I had recently seen like a breakdown of it, and I realized that it was the same guy. It's funny, he's even handsomer now as like a slightly older, you know, not as older, you know, but like older than he was. He was a teenager or whatever in that show. And he is so square-jawed, very much like Reacher. Like, I mean, not Reacher's like this hulking dude, but he's like, he kind of looks straight out of a comic, Reacher. And so is this lead, is it Freddie or Eddie? The main brother, who's the lead of the story. Yeah, Eddie. Eddie is statuesque, I guess. Super masculine. It's and just poised, you know, it's the gentleman, you know. And so he's this British heir to a great family fortune and mansion, and his father passes away in the beginning, and he inherits everything instead of his older brother, who's a bit of a fuck up. But he's a military man. He went into the military, and the family's always shot guns and, you know, and hunted, and, you know, as like a respectable part of their like lineage or whatever. So like they can all sort of handle a rifle. And this guy in particular, the brother Eddie, he just has his shit together in all the ways that the older brother doesn't. And the older brother's really panicky and kind of crazy and like really wants to be a part of mischief and is prone to deceitful behavior, and then like realizes how terrible he is and is apologetic. And, you know, he's a wild card in the best way. And the casting of him as well, of like, you know, this square jawed kind of will remind you a little bit of like the lead from Prison Break, if you ever enjoyed that series. You know, that guy, I forget his name, the actor who was the lead, you know, he just had a real calm about him. And that guy's calm was a little bit more feminine ultimately. But this guy's calm is very masculine. It's very cool to see, actually. And his dynamic with the daughter of did I say already that essentially when he inherits everything instead of his brother, he inherits everything, and what he inherits more deeply than just the mansion and like a bunch of these things and why it is that it was given to him is he inherits this drug business that his father is just like allowing to happen underground at their facility, but requires some real needle to handle. So essentially this is a bit of like a burden that is given to Eddie, and of course Freddie the fuck up is like mortified, you know, the younger brother, whatever, but at the same time everybody understands why it was given to Eddie. Eddie's just very together, and he has to work with the eldest daughter of the crime family guy who is in prison, and his daughter is sort of working for him, running the business by proxy. And these two, Eddie and this girl, who is also awesome. She's just a cute little British girl. I mean, not super little. Kea Scodelario. She's fucking great. Everybody on this show is great, like with no exceptions. Every single actor is fucking awesome. I generally don't even like name actors when I talk about these things. If you've listened to lots of shows, you see I usually don't. I'm gonna name a shitload of actors because they were all great, like fucking great. And Guy Ritchie's got to have something to do with it. Again, like whether he's picking a good casting agent, or he's sitting with them in the room. He's got all these great people. You know, their mother is great. The groundskeeper's played by Vinnie Jones. He's awesome. My one gripe is that, like, at the end, you kind of get a prompt, because Vinnie Jones is playing a very subdued kind of role for him, like a non-traditional role for him, where he seems like maybe not so much the badass. And by the end of it, you're about to get this, like, real moment of, like, all right, Vinnie Jones, who clearly is at least a worldly guy, he's about to throw down. Like, and it's in the last episode, and me and my friend Michael, who've been watching the show together, we looked at each other. We were just like, I'm kind of bummed out. Because basically, like, you know, it was one of those moments where you think it's going to go down and it doesn't. And then you're like, and it might be interesting in the ways that it didn't go down, but at the same time, you're like, but I wanted it to go down. I guess it was the last episode of the show. So I felt like this last episode of this show was a little bit, like, open-ended and a little bit of a disappointment, because of just how great and the possibilities were there for it to be kind of crazy. So it felt a little bit like No Country for Old Men in the end, which bothers me, because that No Country for Old Men pisses me off, even though it's a great movie. This show is great. It's just Guy Ritchie at the top of his fucking game. It feels, if you're a Guy Ritchie fan like me and you like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch and Rock and Rolla and some of these movies that really feel like him, this show really feels like him in the best way. And they got to do more. They got to do more because it's so great. They got that guy, Christopher Hivju, in the movie. He's very funny. He was in the opening scene, well, and I guess he shows back up, of the Cocaine Bear. He's like this redheaded actor. He's very funny, very funny. Let's see, some of the other, you know, like I said, Vinnie Jones is in a great role. Ray Winston is the bad guy in the Black Widow movie. Ray Winston's awesome, and he plays like the father to the girl who was working with Eddie, and their dynamic and their relationship is great. You know, maybe a little attraction under the surface, but like, he's trying to get out of the drug business and she's not exactly always honest with him because her dad makes her not be honest with him. And, like, you know, great stuff, because, you know, they like each other. They work well together. And it does leave it off so wonderful for more. And I'm praying they do more, because this show's great. And, you know, the Snatch series, I didn't even freaking hear about that. Apparently it was just one season. So hopefully people watch this. I want people to watch this. Watch it so that there can be more seasons of this, because it's a great show. And I want to keep seeing Guy Ritchie, like, fucking knock it out of the park like this. It's so awesome. Every episode, me and my buddy would look at each other and be like, fuck yes. I just kept saying to him, I love this show. It's great. It's just so well crafted. You know, watching things and that are well crafted help you be better at crafting things. I'm gonna watch this again with my girl Julie, and you know, as soon as I want to see it again. Like, we've been watching with the volume too low and shit, and I've been missing things. Like, I need to go back. I need to hear all the snappy dialogue and, like, watch it again. It's that good. There's a great actor, Michael Vu, who plays Jimmy, who runs the weed growery, and he is fucking hysterical. He's got such a counter energy to everybody else in the group, you know, all these upper crust people, and he's just like this playing this stoner energy thing that's amazing. And it, of course, it's hysterical. I'm like looking on the IMDb, and he's got a picture of himself in a suit with a very cleaned up haircut. This is like him going, I can act in all sorts of ways. I know you know me for the gentleman, but I can too be a gentleman. There's so many. I mean, just the character actors that they have as, like, the leader of, oh, I don't know, the various factions of these mafiosos and pikey type, you know, people. The leader of the pikey people or similar is, I think, Lawrence O'Forain, and he's great. They've got the dude. Oh, what's his fucking name? I'm trying to spot his face here in the cast, but maybe he's like further down in the thing. Or am I looking at a single episode? That might be my problem. The guy from The Tick. The guy from The Tick is playing one of. I don't want to spoil anything. I always try to make these coolest pick things like as least spoiler full as possible. But he shows up as one of the. I guess I don't want to say it's the wrong thing, but they're like Russian, Scandinavian, something. And he shows up as just like this giant Russian scumbag. And he's awesome. Fucking awesome. And Giancarlo Esposito is one of the legitimate businessmen vying for the business that they've got. And he's great. And a lot of times he shows up nowadays and I'm like, you know, him again or whatever. But like he was great having in there. And Gospel John, played by Pierce Quigley, he's fucking great. Like just like every leader of all these organizations and every like major bodyguard or bad guy, they just all have presence and personality. It's lovely to see. Max Beasley's cool as Collins. He's another like, you know, like underworld figure who like, but just like they all bite, if you know what I mean. Like they all. You feel their presence and you're like, oh, cool. Oh, this guy. You know, like, oh, fuck. Yeah, see, now I got the full cast up here. So I'm getting more of the pieces. I'm trying to name drop The Tick because he's so fucking rad and he's so great in this. But yeah, I mean, just all of them. Oh, there's this dude, Guz Khan. He plays this character, Chucky. I mean, he's only in there for an episode, but great pick. Just great casting across the board. Just all very... good comedic chops and just everything. Oh, yeah. Tick is Peter Serafinowicz. Peter Serafinowicz. He's fucking awesome. He's the guy who does the shit in Guardians of the Galaxy where he's like, what a bunch of assholes. And he's like naming them all in the trailer. Peter Serafinowicz. He's all, you know, his name, what a bunch of that. But like here, he's playing like Russian, man. But then I'm doing like two Russian. He's like someone, that's why I don't want to say it was Russian because maybe it's like Polish or like whatever. But awesome. He's fucking awesome. Awesome. All the casting is awesome. I'm just looking to see if there's anybody else that I'm like missing. I mean, there are some other people who are great, but like they're less like significant. There's just so many characters and so many roles. And they really do manage to sort of bring everybody back as well. You know, by the end of the series, they like kind of everybody has a little bit of a cameo, or at least like so many of the good people have a little bit of cameo, and it does tie up very nicely. It just doesn't necessarily tie up in like a action-packed way where you're like, oh my god, the action is, my eyes are falling out of my head, so much action. But seriously, the series is just incredible. It's well cast, it's incredibly written, incredibly well cut and put together. It's compelling and interesting and completely sets you up to want to follow these characters and follow this world for as long as Guy Ritchie wants to do it. It's 8 episodes, but they're, I guess, like each like an hour. You know, so, you know, an 8-hour show doesn't necessarily go by like lightning. But it's great. You know, you can binge it and it's a great binge, because it's only 8, but an episode at a time it's quite compelling and it'll leave you thinking about it and leave you really happy about it. Like I said, I'm going back for seconds because it's so well made. And when something's that well made, I like to study it. And like I said, my volume is sometimes missing things or getting food or whatever it is. What did he say? This is, you know, when it's two people, like you're not constantly like rewinding, but I'm gonna watch it again. Anyway, I loved The Gentlemen, and I think you will too. It's my coolest pick for this Saturday. I don't know what I'm doing this Wednesday. I'm not sure what I'm doing this Monday for my All Your Favorite Bands Suck show, but I hope you'll join me Monday night for All Your Favorite Bands Suck. I hope you'll join me next Wednesday for another episode of Coolest Geek Alive, and again next Saturday for another fabulous episode of the Coolest Geek Alive Saturday edition, where we like to gush about great things, and The Gentleman is no different. Watch The Gentleman. I love you all. You can write me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com, and you can find me on Twitter or at Coolest Geek JBS. You guys all ruined my school. Thank you for listening. Join me next time. Peace.
You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
It's my favorite part!
Coolest alive.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Stay with your tribe.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Revenge of the Geeks.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Week after week.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Laughing with you.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
And crying sometimes too.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Spelling it out.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Making you shout.
Awesome.
Talking some shit.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Living your shit.
My voice
gonna
be fucking awesome. Awesome.
Food in our mouth.
Awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground.
Hooray!